Anti-Christian rhetoric has been ratcheting up in America. It's amazing how some journalists have blamed the recent horrific mass shooting at a Christian elementary school in Nashville on Christians instead of the person who committed such an evil crime. But God is still on his throne. Evil will be repaid. You're listening to Finish Strong. I'm Dan Wheeler along with Terry Steen and Brian Rowland. Hi, guys.
Hey, Dan. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Boy, hasn't it been crazy, the news coverage lately of this shooting?
Every day you shake your head and you go, I cannot imagine I would have heard this.
Right. Yeah. It's amazing how the blame and who's being vindicated and who the hero is and all that. It's just, wow. I look at this and then some of the things that is being charged now is that how the papers and news couldn't get the gender right. Well, who knew? I mean, I'm just trying to figure this out and the plurals, you know, I mean, it's just, it's amazing.
I never thought the world would be so upside down, but the Bible talks about how in the end times, what is evil will be considered good and what is good will be considered evil. Right. And we're seeing it take place before our eyes. But the good news is we have great hope. Mm-hmm. And on today's episode of Finish Strong, we're actually going to talk about a biblical story, the biblical story of Esther, because I think it contains many powerful lessons that apply to our lives and our situation today. Yeah. And I'm sure you guys would agree, the story of this amazing godly woman, Esther, who the Lord used actually to save her people, the Jews, from extinction. And, you know, I've really enjoyed reading it and rereading it. And I've been telling you guys how God keeps bringing this story to my mind. I heard a sermon a couple weeks ago about it.
Yeah, that was interesting. And I love the story, but it's buried there in the Old Testament. And unfortunately, I can see that I had to look up in the table of contents where to find Esther. I couldn't remember.
Brian, he was asking me where Esther was. I said, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms.
Brian. And I said, it's in the Old Testament.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad we have such a scholarly biblical expert on the show today.
I always just read the Cliff Notes. So really, it's hard to...
Well, I remember you did in college. That's
Oh, my.
But, Brian, did you even read the Cliff Notes in college, or were you just playing
no,
music?
No, I just winged it. I just
winged it.
That's why I was on the five-year plan.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's give a quick overview of Esther. I mean, here's a woman who was an orphan, and then her cousin Mordecai got involved. Terry, you want to take us through a few of the key points? And then
Yeah,
Brian,
let me do
in.
The Cliff Notes on this.
Yeah,
a lot
since
of
you're
people,
the Cliff Note expert.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I specialize here.
You do.
And some people may know the story, they may not. We'll flesh it out as we go. But there's a king that ruled back in the Old Testament times from India to Africa, a huge area. His queen snubbed him one night, and it embarrassed him. So he banned her from his presence.
Good
and
call.
Then he was like, oh no, what did I do? So he didn't have a queen. So his servant said, well, we can get you another one. So they began a search throughout the entire kingdom, two criteria, beautiful and a virgin.
Kind of so like Star brought, Search.
Yeah, there you go. So they brought in these hundreds of ladies. One of the ladies happened to be a Jewish lady. They didn't know she was Jewish because the only two requirements were beauty and a virgin. So, and she was, like you said, Dan, an orphan. She was raised by your uncle Mordecai. And as the Cliff Notes go, incredibly, Esther, out of all those ladies, was selected as queen.
Yeah.
Now, in the meantime, Mordecai had a run-in with one of the king's friends, Haman, and Haman hated the Jews and knew Mordecai was a Jew. And Haman tricked the king into giving him permission to have all the Jews killed. So as it happened, the only person in a position that could stop this was Queen Esther. So through a course of events, Esther finds favor with the king, reverses his order, and the Jews are saved. Such an incredible story that they have a Jewish holiday even now celebrating that victory in Jewish history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's so many side stories here. I mean, you mentioned Haman and the plot and how Mordecai uncovered the plot. So there's so many great lessons. And Brian, I think the overriding lesson is that God's timing is always perfect, and especially with Esther and her rise.
Exactly. His timing is perfect. We always say, you know, God, he's not late, he's not early, he's always on time. Well, and that happened with the case of Esther. She became queen, but it was 2 or 3 years down the line that Haman worked his way up the ladder to be in the position he was in. And Mordecai, he didn't have direct access, but he would stay by the king's gate, so he'd still be able to communicate with the queen before she was queen, when she was still going through the whole ritual and that of dating him, so to say. But God puts the person in that place at the right time. And even though it was a couple of years had passed, he had her in position where she needed to be at. Now, I looked up and found out that her Persian name for Esther in Persian is Star. So God put a shining star in that place for that time.
Well, I didn't know that when I said star search. How about that?
Exactly. There you go. Exactly. So, but she was there at the right time, and she even did things through boldness. For her and Mordecai both were very bold in what they did. He heard about a plot that some people wanted to assassinate the king. And he got word to Esther, this before he had direct contact with her, and she was able to tell the king, and they found these guys out, they tried them, they were guilty, they hung them, and he wrote it, the king wrote it down in the chronicles that it was Mordecai that had given him that tip. So he was in the right place there at the right time also, but they were both bold in what they've done. And even Esther, when she would approach the king, if he didn't call for her, it could have been her life. But she was bold. She would step out and go in to see him when she really needed to. And if he raised the sepulcher, like he would, that's okay. She can come in. And he did that each time she approached. So she really had favor with the king too.
I found it interesting when I was reading the story that she had not been with the king and in his presence for like 30 days. And like you said, she just walked out there. But she didn't have that boldness before she told Mordecai to have all his Jewish friends praying and fasting.
Right.
And for 3 days. That's the key. So they were preparing for that moment. I mean, there's a great lesson for us today when we really have major things that we need to do or we want to accomplish. It's a good idea to go to prayer and fasting and showing the Lord how serious we are.
Mm-hmm. And you know, when we come back to a time such as this, I have to think, I know I do sometimes, and some of our listeners may feel the same way. What does that have to do with me? You know, you're sitting there going through your day and you might feel like you're accomplishing nothing or God hasn't given you a great purpose, but you are where you are for such a time as this. I think about even from a generational standpoint and what's going on in our world today, and we have been placed where we have been for our children, to raise our children up. And we are now in a time as Dan and I are grandparents, and we're at a time in life where we can speak and talk to our grandkids and help them work through the culture of today and be here for such a time as this. Right. So it's so important that we step back and realize that God can use us just like he can use Esther where we're planted.
Right. That's a great lesson for today, because I know my daughter Kelsey's been thinking about having children, and she said to me, Dad, I'm not sure I want to bring them into the world. And we worked through that, hey, God knows. He knows every life. There's a purpose and a plan, and there's a purpose for us all being here for a time such as this. Great story from Esther. And Brian, you have one more kind of illustration from the book of Esther before Terry and I talk about some others.
Yeah, God places people in our lives. And just like he did with Mordecai and Esther, she was an orphan. And so what was she going to do? She came from nowhere. She was an orphan. Her parents died. He was her cousin. And he brought her in as his own. And the two of them together, I think you used the term, Dan, iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. And the two of them together, look what they did by saving the king's life and then how they was able to save the whole Jewish nation. from being wiped out because of, well, we'll get into the story more about Haman and what happened there. But God used them, and he put them in that place for a time such as that, but that they can be bold in what they were saying and what they were doing, and again, how they were able to work with each other and to get ahead there and to save the Jewish population at that time.
Well, when I think about our lives, the three of us and God's timing, we met 50 years ago in college. And who would have thought that 50 years later, we'd have a ministry, we'd be doing daily morning cups of inspiration, we'd be hosting a podcast, writing a devotional, the things that had happened. But God was preparing us all those years that we were in our separate careers and even had lost a little bit of touch for a while.
Sure.
Weren't in as great a touch as we are now, but then Beth's passing kind of brought us all back together. And so, you know, I feel like God placed you guys in my life and even during Beth's passing for a time such as this. So,
and I think that's something we need to be aware of in our own lives is, who is in our life, and don't take people for granted because God has specifically placed people around us for our benefit.
Right.
But even beyond that is think about who are you, who can be there that you can help.
Right.
Maybe we're at a place at a certain time that are supposed to be there for somebody else.
Yep.
And if we don't consciously think about that, we may miss opportunities where God wants us to be the Mordecai for an Esther.
I'll tell you one story. When I was a kid, 10 years old, and I just got a brand new bike, and I wanted to go show my cousins and my aunt and uncle and that. So I got on the bike, and I'm riding over there, and I don't know exactly what happened, except I came off the pedal, and I broke my leg in two places. And so I got the bike to the side of the curb and was able to jump off it, and I'm laying there, and I'm going, what do I do now? I could see my leg just hanging, you know, so it wasn't going. It's like Joe Theismann. It wasn't, I wasn't going anywhere.
Oh,
and I looked up and this guy's walking down the street, and I just say, mister, can you help me? And he said, what's wrong? And I said, I think I broke my leg. And I point to it, and he looks at it, and he goes, oh, and he runs over to the neighbors to get an ambulance. But he told my dad, because he took my bike and he called my dad and said he had my bike and my radio and all that. Mm-hmm. And he called and he said, I don't know why I never walked the neighborhood. He goes, but something just said, take a walk today. Go take a walk today.
Hmm.
And he did. And he put him in that place at that time because God knew I was going to need him.
Yeah.
And he was there for me at that time.
Talk about no coincidences.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's one of the lessons from Esther. I mean, think of Mordecai in the courtyard overhearing the two officers that were plotting to kill King Xerxes, and he was there to tell Esther that timing, incredible.
Yeah.
And he had such a purpose in being there. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Mordecai didn't even realize what it was. He was just trying to keep an eye on Esther and kind of get any word about what was happening.
Right.
Yeah, that reminds me of the same type of story in Acts with Paul. And Paul was in prison and was supposed to go to Rome, but there was a plot to kill him, and just somehow his nephew overheard the plot, went and told Paul, reported it, and they were able to get Paul out of there safely. But the Bible is full of it. You could go through the life of Joseph, and I mean, just there are no coincidences, are there? God has everything laid out.
Brian, he may not know where Esther is in the Bible, but he knows his New Testament pretty well.
There we go.
That's true. That's true.
Just teasing, Terry. I know you took some Bible classes.
Well, Evangel. I did have to take a minimum.
Yes. You know, but another point is we all have purpose. I know so many people. In fact, I've seen it on our Facebook page at Fearless Faith, Fearless Faith Ministries. Go there, give our page a follow, and you'll get our morning cups. But many people are saying, you know, I'm old, I'm retired. What's my purpose? Maybe I'm homebound, but there's something that all of us can do, whether it's picking up the phone and calling, writing a letter, an encouraging note. But God does have a purpose, and he's not done with any of us yet. That's why we called this podcast Finish Strong.
Yeah.
In our final years, this is where God can really use us.
Yeah.
The The verse that comes to my mind is one that we all know so well, is Jeremiah 29:11-12. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. Then you'll call upon me and come and pray, and I'll listen to you. He has plans. Mm-hmm. This was specifically for the Jewish people, but we can apply this to our own life as well. He does have plans for each of us.
Yeah. And you know, God humbles us all. And our next point is the story about humility. And we're going to go to Terry because, you know, our last two recordings of Finished Strong had really huge audiences. And Brian and I were trying to figure out, well, what was different?
Okay.
Well, and then we hit felt on it. Bad that Terry wasn't there. And
okay.
Okay. So humility, you know, Terry, just a little lesson in humility, right?
Okay. I can deal with that. Well, it was interesting that Haman had actually built gallows to hang Mordecai, and then he got the king to allow him to kill all the Jews. He thought he was riding high.
Thought he had the ball game.
He did.
Tell him what happened, because he was all the ego that he had.
That's it. It's pride. And what's the opposite of humility is pride. And pride always falls. Mm-hmm. And God has a way of doing that. So he allowed the king to read some of the old Torah. Chronicles. And found out about Mordecai and what he had done previously and wanted to honor him. And so the next thing you know, he's making Haman walk Mordecai around and honor him. And it's just the opposite. And he was about as humiliated as he could have been. Yeah. And then it carries on even further to where the tables were turned. Esther unveiled his evilness, and who gets hung on the gallows?
Haman.
Haman. That he made for Mordecai. And well, so humility, you know, God gives, there's so many scriptures in Proverbs, James, 1 Peter that talks about how God gives grace to the humble.
Right,
he tells us, take the lowest place. In Luke, there's that story where he says, sit in the back. Let somebody bring you to the front. Don't go sit in the front where someone's going to tap you on the shoulder and go, would you mind going to the back? We know.
And, you know, I think it's interesting because Esther, when King Xerxes was asking her, what do you want? I'll give you half the kingdom. And she said, at first she said, I want you and Haman to come to a banquet that I prepared for you. Well, at the banquet, you know, she's feeding them all this great food. And then he says again, so what's your request? Up to half the kingdom. And she says, I want you to come again to a banquet tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, it was that night that the king couldn't sleep. And he had one of his officers read or servants read to him the Chronicles, where he kind of rediscovered that Mordecai had saved his life. He had kind of forgotten about that.
Yeah.
And then the whole thing with Haman, what should I do for a man who deserves great honor, and here Haman thinks it's him, he's getting all puffed up. And
right.
He says, he should put a robe on him, give him a ring, you know, parade him around the city. And then he had Haman do it to Mordecai. And then Mordecai went home and was so angry and told his family and humiliated.
Yes, he was so ticked. Yeah. And, you know, maybe another lesson is when you have insomnia and can't sleep, God may have a reason for doing that.
You know, Terry, that humbling is almost like Ohio State losing to Michigan two years in a row now.
Oh, yeah.
Ohio State. I'm sorry, Brian.
I want to know if I showed any pride at all when they kept beating you eight years in a row. I hadn't shown any pride. I just sat back nice.
It's so far in the past.
So far. Oh, my gosh. You just blink your eyes.
Two-time champions. Okay, Terry, so you...
We better keep moving. We might have a fisticuff through the screen.
That's right.
One thing about Haman, guys, is that he, through a couple years there, for some reason, of course, Satan was backing him, but he was climbing up the ladder and became second in commander with the king. And he was expecting that kind of respect from everybody else. So he had every Jewish person, especially, had them all bowing down to him.
Good point.
And every time he would pass, but Mordecai refused to. He refused to bow. And that's what started the whole trigger of him wanting to get rid of him, wanting to kill all the Jews. And like you said, when he went home that night, he was so upset because he thought that was him that's supposed to be paraded around.
Yeah.
And I think it was his wife that said that, you know, what would you do? And they hang him, we'll put the gallows, build these gallows, and that's the king. And ended up turning around that it was him. Amazing.
And, you know, those gallows were 75 foot high. I was looking at something today in a water tower, and I was trying to picture how high up that was. But that gravity was going to really do a number. Anyway.
He was trying to make a scene, that's for sure.
Yeah. What's your next point, Terry, about lessons? God's
always working behind the scenes. And you sit and think about this little Jewish orphan. Who was, she had to leave her own country. She lost her mom and her dad. And you go, how could God possibly be working behind the scenes with this little girl? And then to hear the story of her becoming queen and carrying the authority that she did. And then from the queen, as the queen, she was able to get Mordecai promoted into a great position where, as a Jew, he had say so over most of the country and, in essence, saved the Jewish nation. We can go through the Bible and see story after story after story where God is always working behind the scenes.
Right.
And we need to keep that in our minds as we're praying for things that we don't see happening. If we're praying for healings, if we're praying for lost sons and daughters, whatever is on our heart, whatever we've been asking God for, always remember He is working. He is working behind the scenes. His perfect plan can still be accomplished.
Amen. I heard a sermon a couple weeks ago when I was out visiting my oldest daughter, Kirsten, and her family, and he was preaching on Esther, and he said, this is one of the few books, I think there was only one other book, where Jehovah's not even mentioned in the book. And he said, so, and yet he was everywhere. He's everywhere in the book. He said, he's not mentioned, but he's everywhere, always working. Brian, you use the analogy of a control room.
Yeah, in a technical control room, and if you're in the broadcast business, if you go in there behind all the machines, wires are going everywhere. And if you've got to try to trace one and try to trace another, I mean, you never know where all they're going to and how they tie together. But that's how God works. He's behind the scenes. He's connecting all the connectors as they need to be connected to get to resolve to where you're going to be at in your life with what you need or what He has planned for you. Yeah. And I always use that because it's like a rat's nest back there, but you look at it, you know, but it all works.
And they always have it covered up or sent under the tiles in the floor or somewhere. But when you take the tiles up, you look, you're like, oh my goodness. Luckily we had engineers who could figure it all out.
Right.
Great stories. Terry, you got one more, don't you?
Yeah, I do. But you know, regarding always working, it just hit me that we have to do our part too. And you think that they took 3 days to pray and fast before Esther risked going before the king. Yeah. So there's work to be done on our part, but God's always doing His work. And talking about Esther going in to see the king, to me, that's one of the greatest lessons, is that the bigger the risk, the bigger the danger, where courage is required, you think about anything you've done in your life that was riskier, that was a big deal, and you stepped out to do it, the bigger the danger, the bigger the victory. And that's the way God works. You know, I've always said that if you have two options, as you're going through life, if you have two options, take the harder one. Rarely do you find that the easy way was the best way for you. And I think that's part of how God works in our life, is that when we take the risk, when we become bold, when we become courageous, that's when the victory comes. That's when you save the Jewish nation.
The bigger the victory, when our courage is required, and we do have to step out, we do have to step out in faith. And how can we apply these lessons to today, to our society, to finishing strong? You know, ever since the Supreme Court reversed Roe versus Wade, that's when the anti-Christian, anti-life movement has kind of ratcheted up. and and we see it, and we have to be praying over that, and we have to, you know, stand up, be bold, but prayer and fasting is called for in this day and age in which we live, and we need courage.
Yeah, so true.
I was going to say, I think my thought would be in today's society and with our personal lives, that we need to grow and realize the importance of working through the tough times, working through the testing. As the culture becomes tougher and tougher, everything that we're going through in life has its purpose. And just as we have to have that courage, just as we are not fearful of the danger and the risk, but we have that courage and we work through the tough times and the testing, that's where God strengthens us. That's where we see the victory.
I think it's important too that we align ourselves with people of like mind, what the Bible tells us, especially now. I mean, it's so important to be in tune with somebody else that you can pray with and they'll fast with you in these times, that you can talk about or talk to about what's going on. Because, you know, other folks that you're not of like mind, are you just going to be doing this and you're not going to convince them, they're not going to convince you. But you need somebody that's going to work with you and that you can work with and pray with and see where God is leading you and taking you. I find it interesting, like the three of us, we're intertwined. I mean, whenever there's a problem, who do I call first? You guys, we need prayer, you know, and that's what happens. We're joined at the hip that way.
Right. You know, there's so many things happening, but it's important to stay ready, like Esther and Mordecai. Stay ready for that moment. Be close to the Lord. Don't let your mind go into areas it shouldn't go into. Truly repent. Say goodbye to your sin. Resist the devil, because he's out there. He wants to stop all of us. He wants to stop you. He wants to pull you away from the Lord. And know that God's timing is perfect, and we were built and born for a time such as this. It's time to be bold, and there's no coincidences. If there's one, I mean, we've talked about all the lessons, you know, no coincidences, humility, purpose, God working behind the scenes, the bigger the risk, the bigger the victory where courage is required. What was the biggest maybe aha moment for you, Brian, from Esther?
When you said we all have an important purpose, just the other day, I received a comment on our morning cup saying that God put you here in this place for me. I mean, you're here for that reason. Mm-hmm. And anytime we think that we're just doing this automatically now after 7 years, it's not. That's why I always pray over each one, because it's there for somebody, and he put us in this position and to use our voices and to be a vessel for him. And that's what we got to continue to do, because it's not about us. So it's very important that I think that that's our purpose.
Yeah. How about you, Terry? Was there an aha?
Yeah, I think it was what I kind of mentioned earlier, just growing and working through those tough times and taking the risks, not being afraid of what's ahead and being courageous and stepping forward and then believing for the victory, believing for God for what he wants to do. You know, we know that there's purpose. We know there aren't coincidences, and God has it all planned for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. For me, it's that God is not mentioned anywhere, but he's everywhere.
Right.
And always working behind the scenes. And, you know, we have to remind ourselves of that when we're being bothered by little things. You know, I've been with moving and everything, it's just been so many challenges and every day new things, but you know, I have to put that in perspective. God's going to work that all through. And the bigger question is our relationship with the Lord. I found myself today praying all day long throughout the day for this podcast tonight.
That's neat.
And God always comes through. Guys, it's been just a really rich podcast to be able to discuss the story of Esther, a powerful story.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that story. And Terry, it is in the Old Testament now. So
okay, I'm going to make a note of that.
Right before Job. Right before Job.
Well, thank you so much for listening to Finish Strong. The three of us certainly appreciate it. Our producer, John Matarazzo, appreciates it, and we appreciate him. and all of his work that he does to make this happen. So until next time, God bless, stay strong, and know that God is always working behind the scenes on your behalf. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Finish Strong. For more information about Finish Strong and Fearless Faith, check out their website, ffaith.org. Make sure that you rate and review this podcast to help more people accomplish their God-given purpose so that together we can finish strong.